Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for October 24th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry. I know.
Is that a new national anthem?
I hear somebody's cell phone.
I'm sorry. Barbara sent me on a mission. I forgot to.
That'll be a $5 fine.
Item number three is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all.
It's nice to see the old train station. And had a real good time at it.
Very good.
I want to thank them for putting it on.
I had occasion to spend the last few days in Southern California with the all the fires going on down there. I'm not sure my voice will hold out. I think Director Dahl may be in the same situation for the same reason, but there's been, as you all know, very serious fires down there. Many people have lost their homes and may need to mention the support of the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and other organizations that are helping with that. If might give a mention to them if we could, because they're doing great work down there with the firefighters that are on the line there all the time. Okay, it brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes for October 10th. Comment or questions from the board?
I have a comment on page 7 under D, Director Dean. The last sentence in that group, it says that the Morris Group has been selected. Actually, they are the top candidate as environmental consultant. Not selected yet.
Okay. Any other comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes of October 10th, 2007 with the adjustment I just spoke about.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of October 10th as amended. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0 with one abstention. Item number 6, reports. We have none tonight. Item number 7, fire items. We have none tonight. Item number 8, utility items. 8A is cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines, continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines following the San Simeon earthquake.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the disclosure of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake. Is there any comment from the public on this item?
President Hill, members of the board, in a letter dated October the 12th, Mayor Reese from the city of Pismo Beach suggested that the district consider the use of tertiary water from their wastewater treatment plant as a source of irrigation water or other water, partially in response to our looking at desal. Copy of that letter has been provided to the board, and staff's just seeking guidance on how to respond, how we should respond to the letter.
This is water coming out of their waste water,
right.
Plant, their sewer plant.
Right.
And they're thinking we should use it for our lawns down here?
Yeah, they had a water reuse study done by a consulting firm, and I guess I haven't seen the study, but my belief is that that study recommends that that water be used for irrigation purposes. And that's common. It's tertiary treated water, so it's pretty clean water. It's almost drinkable.
Yeah.
And I think she's just suggesting that we consider that while we consider other sources of water.
Have they thought about using this water for their own city?
I'm sure they're going to use it to some extent, yeah.
We could, just being nice, they will put it in with the other things we're looking at, but I would think that they would be considering using this where they're trying to expand and don't have enough water. Pismo.
Right. Yeah, they have a water shortage, just like we do.
This takes running special lines out to use this water, right? So you're talking about putting in a whole lot of water lines to use it.
Well, you know, I really didn't do a whole lot of research. Typically, it's only used when tertiary water is used. It's only used for large projects like parks and areas that need a lot of water because you do have to put in a separate line. Mm-hmm. So it's not for lawn irrigation, or typically wouldn't be. I mean, some places it may be economically reasonable for them to do that, but I doubt that it would be that way here.
Golf courses, parks.
Yeah, golf courses.
We could use a golf course here.
They could use the golf course.
That would be nice.
Grover might be interested.
Oh, no. I think Oceano Golf Course, Airport Golf Course, Sand Dunes.
Let's just tell them thank you very much.
We'll Convention put it in the pile. Center.
Convention Center, yes.
Maybe we can take a look at the report and see what it's suggesting.
Yeah, that's
seeing how much money that they want from you.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Put it in the pile with the rest of the things we're looking at.
Okay.
So I guess the what I'm kind of hearing. Is there any comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to item number 8C, water billing adjustment policy. This is to consider changes to existing district policy for adjusting utility billing invoices for excessive use. Patrick, for your staff
report. This came up at the last board meeting. The board directed staff to bring this back for discussion concerning possibly changing what we do now. What I've done, with your permission, I'll use this board up here. Our existing ordinance has these four or five provisions, basically. It says high usage. When there's high usage, customer can request an adjustment. They have to provide evidence that there was a break or a malfunction, and you know how you define that is pretty open. And they have to show evidence of repair. And if they do those three things, it says the bill will be presented to the board, the invoice and the request, and that they will be allowed to pay the average of the last 12 months bill instead of that particular bill. I frequently go to Northern Water District because I worked there for years, and they're very well organized and pretty progressive on everything. So they sent me a copy of their billing adjustment policy, and basically it differs from ours. These numbers, 1 through 5, relate to 1 through 5 over there. As far as high usage, they define high usage as 1.5 times the normal seasonal use is determined by district. And I don't have enough experience here to know if it's true here, but in North Marin, in the summer, people use 2 or 3 times as much water as they use in the winter. So our policy of just looking at the last 12 months maybe is not as reasonable if you're comparing, you know, if you're looking at July's bill. That should be higher than what the average was for the last 12 months, because that's the highest bill of the year. So maybe when we're considering this, we want to consider something that says seasonal use, and we want to define what high usage is. We, you know, people could come in and say, you know, my bill last year was $110, and it's $125 this year. I want an adjustment. Just something to consider. Second thing that they do is they say that there can be no evidence of a willful or negligent act. If you look at our current procedure, it doesn't say that. The person could go out there and break the water main themselves. Not something we shouldn't. The North Marin procedure says the district will credit. It doesn't go to the board of directors. There's no judgment on anybody's part. Once the criteria have been met, then the board makes the adjustment. And that's something we talked about, whether it's a discretionary or a fact-finding action being taken by our current board. I think we need to clarify that, but just for your information, at North Marin, it never goes to the board. It's just you go through the right steps, you're given the adjustment. One of the things they do there is they take half the difference between the seasonally adjusted bill and the previous seasonally adjusted bill. So they don't give the whole difference. If you paid $100 last July and your bill was $300 this July, they don't give you $200 credit. They only give you credit for half of the difference. And when I talked to them, their assumption is that they don't want to overburden the homeowner, but on the other hand, they don't want the other customers to absorb the whole thing. I mean, there's a little equity here. You know, we'll help you out a little bit, but we're going to protect our customers a little bit too. So that's what they said. This goes up and down. You know, 20 years ago, it may have been a whole thing, whereas now they only give half. They split the difference. And they only allow one adjustment every 24 months. So these are just things that I thought the board kind of start discussion. And then what I would hope is that by the end of the discussion, the board will direct staff to include certain elements and exclude other elements. And then at the next board meeting, we can bring back a proposed ordinance change that complies with those requirements of the board.
Well, the way these adjustments started out originally, if somebody had a problem, they came to the general manager and they didn't like his take on it. Then it went to the water committee. Two members were on the water and sewer.
Water and sewer committee.
Was it water and sewer? Yoo-hoo. Mrs. Davis.
Pardon?
Was it the water and sewer committee or just the
water? It was water sewer.
Water sewer. Mm-hmm. And then they looked at it. And they made a decision, and if the customer didn't like that decision, then it came to the board of directors. Hmm. That was how, before this existing ordinance took place.
Which sounds like, I hope that we can come up with some ideas that would be equitable and yet restrict frivolous or negligent acts from qualifying for adjustment at the expense of the ratepayers.
I think we had a lot of adjustments from the earthquake, didn't we, Gina, that maybe people didn't realize it right away that they had a leak. And to me, those extraordinary things, you know, the leak could be there for a month before somebody came up to their place where they only came occasionally and there was a water leak, not a sprinkler broke off, but, you know, something underground. Under the cement that you didn't realize
right.
until you went in, walked into your house and realized that you had a problem.
And there were some actions
and
like
there
that
were
after.
Some of those.
Right.
So I want to be sure that however we write this, there would be wiggle room for something like that. I mean, you know, they didn't find it right away. These people did not find it right away. It was through no fault of their own.
Right. And that's the kind of thing that I would like to see covered in our, whatever our ordinance turns out to be, that those kind of events would be covered, but failure to timely fix plumbing fixtures and negligence in maintaining sprinkler systems or things of that nature would be less favorably received.
Or like it, or if the spigot or the handle that you turn on the water in the yard is a little loose and something brushes up against that and it happens to run for a day or two. I surely don't think that's a taxpayer. That should not be borne by the residents here.
I like what Patrick's written up here on the board, and then Barbara, I like the way you brought it in that it should go first to the general manager, and then if the customer wants to go past the general manager's decision, it should come to the water committee. Limit the types of breaks. That's kind of vague at this point, but redefining that particular types of breaks. Probably talking to our water department, seeing what would be more acceptable. I think that should be kind of outlined of what we think, or maybe that could just
to what a normal bill would have been.
Yeah. Right. Our residents, in the 2003 earthquake, we we took a pretty hard hit here in Oceano, and it shook up this little town. And you know, fortunately, we've been able to mend ourselves. And
this policy that we're putting into effect is for everyone. It's not there just for certain groups. It's for any resident who has a water need.
Well, I like that you checked with someone else, because I don't like reinventing the wheel, and it looks like they thought out what they were doing here. I think it's a little more balanced in that half the seasonal annual use and the half the difference is more balanced, so that the ratepayers aren't getting stuck with the whole thing. I don't know how you restrict or limit the types of breaks. That gets into a fact-finding kind of thing. And I would like to see the general manager handle it, unless there were extenuating circumstances or something, and then it could come to the board. I don't think we need to have a committee or something like that. If there's something above and beyond that the general manager really can't fit into those criteria, maybe in those cases it would come to the board. But I don't know how you limit types of breaks. I'm not sure what we were talking about there, or what somebody had in mind when they said limit types of breaks.
I was thinking more like if it's above the ground and visible and something that a normal person would notice walking back and forth to their car from their, you know, that kind of, if it's spurting up and it's not fixed, that's different than if it's broken under the sidewalk and they don't, there's really no way of telling.
If it's underground, underground break, you cannot see.
Right.
If water is running in your yard, your spigot was accidentally left on. Knocked on, or my sprinkler head got knocked off when somebody was mowing the lawn, that's not the residents of Oceano's problem. That's the problem between me and the gardener, right, or me and the landlord about fixing the spigot.
And we've done lots of toilet leaks, too. Toilet leaks where you hear it running.
Right. The person got was a high utility bill rather than hearing the toilet run all night. So.
And I also think if somebody's stealing the water, again, that's not the residents of Oceano's problem. I mean, I know at the gas station, I've come in the weekend and found people helping themselves. Well, that's not Grover Beach City or Grover Beach's problem that I didn't lock up that water. That's between me and the sheriff or me and the police department, and I don't think we should be responsible for someone stealing somebody's water. That's not, I know it sounds mean and all that, but it isn't everybody else's problem.
Well, yeah, I'll try to draft something that addresses those issues, and we can look at it and amend it however you want. The one thing that will do is it will put a fact-finding determination on the general manager, and will probably result in more appeals to the committee or the board, however that ends up, which is okay. That's completely appropriate if that's the direction you want to go.
Pamela had kind of a good idea about not taking it to a water committee and just letting the general manager handle it. I originally said different, but thinking of it more offhand, if we bring it to a committee and if we have to have a special committee meeting to do it, that's going to cost us money, and I personally feel the general manager, you can handle it.
Well, then if they don't like his decision, we'll end up here.
Then it comes to the board instead of going to a committee of just two, which could be a special meeting.
Mm-hmm. I think those were the days of water and sewer committee met
more regularly, yeah. Fern, comments, thoughts?
No, I like everything I'm hearing. The only thing I would add is that if it's going to come to the board, that it has to be a written request, and that the request should state why they do not agree with the general manager's decision.
Mm-hmm. Write your comments down, and I'll read them, so you don't have to stress your voice.
Sorry.
No, I don't want you to hurt your throat.
That the comment was that he requested that for something to come before the board, he thought it should be a written request stating the reason why they disagreed with the general manager's decision. I think that's a good point to consider.
They ought to have their direction now.
Break that was underground, that couldn't be seen, was undetectable, and the first effective notice that they got of it was a real high utility bill and try to give some protection against that happening. And not to reimburse people for filling their swimming pools or failing to notice that their toilet's running over, something of that nature.
All right.
But yeah, we don't pay for the break repair.
No.
Right, the property owner would still have to pay for the break repair. But
so you just reverse part of the bill?
That's correct.
Instead of them?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other comment or questions? Okay. Hearing none. Is that enough information for staff to
I think so.
Just to make sure I'm clear on it, the general manager listed a number of considerations and there was seemed to be apparent approval of a couple of additions. Are the instructions to follow this set of considerations that's up there, or you're adopting all of those? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's still redefining it.
They're not adopting anything.
Okay.
They gave me a lot of ideas, and they said, my understanding, and they said, go try to write these down and bring them back to us
okay.
so we can see if this is what we really intended, if you understood what we intended, and if it'll work. So we're not deciding anything. They're just giving me direction.
Okay, and I guess maybe I didn't quite hear as clear a consensus about some of the points that were on the board right. okay. as maybe you did. But as long as the board understands what's coming back to them at the next meeting, that's fine. Thank you.
It's going to be an iterative process. I don't think I heard everything exactly right.
Yeah.
And even if I did, I may not be able to express it in writing as good as I should. So I think it'll take a few times. But I think I understand the gist of what the board wants. Okay.
We could go down each of those items and look for a consensus on each one if that would be more helpful.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make this longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, you are.
We've got all night.
Either that or I could just run through it and tell you what I'm going to do or what I think I'm going to bring back. If you
that
like.
Sounds good.
You can just bring it back to us.
Okay.
If the board has any particular comment one way or the other, they can contact you before the next meeting. And
I'll bring this back so that it'll remind mm-hmm. you of what we talked about. An encroachment permit for real property at 2501 Paso Robles Street in Oceano. It's actually a subdivision that's being developed. And the intent is to put a 6-foot-tall garden wall and 20-foot sections over a sewer easement that the district has on this particular property line. I'd like... Alex has been working with the contractor, the developer, a little bit, so perhaps he could talk some more about the specifics.
The idea here is that the district has an existing utility easement. In order to advance his development, and the utility easement is along the boundary line of the property. In order to enhance his development, the property owner developer wishes to put a garden wall on top of the easement. And he doesn't have the right to do that without coming and getting our permission. Mm-hmm. And so the permission that he's seeking here is a fairly standard garden variety type of encroachment permit that would allow him to go and place this wall over our sewer easement. But in doing so, there is a clear understanding that if for any reason that wall has to be removed, then that's entirely at the then property owner's expense. And the property owner at the time it may need to be removed, in all likelihood, will not be the developer. It'll be somebody else. The document would be recorded in the official records of San Luis Obispo County and would show up on any preliminary title report or title insurance policy that some subsequent property owner would obtain on the property. The document that was provided by the developer has a couple of ambiguities in it that I want to clear up with the developer, and I've provided to each of you copies of a couple of pages that I interlineated some changes on. I don't think they substantively change the document, but I think they clarify it a little bit. And so, subject to whatever other questions, comments.
Okay, so this, your amendment basically provides a more careful legal description of the property.
Well, it's the same legal description as he provided. The problem is they referenced it fairly and artfully, and so I just wanted to clarify it a little bit. There is one thing that is still a little bit of a concern. You'll see where in paragraph B at the end of the first sentence, I interlineated the words along its easterly boundary. And as I understood the project and the location of the property, it was easterly. In talking with the general manager here just shortly before the meeting, now I'm not so sure whether it's easterly or westerly. So that would need to be clarified. But it's our easement. It's our sewer line easement. So that would need to be clarified yet with the developer. I believe it's the easterly boundary, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think you're correct. It says parcel one, and that is the easterly boundary of parcel one. It is the westerly boundary of parcel four.
Uh-huh.
So I think it is correct there.
Yeah.
I have questions. They're talking about the PUD that they're building out there right now. This is a garden wall for a planned unit development.
I'm not familiar with the underlying project. I suspect you're probably correct. I've only had two very brief conversations with the developer. The way he described the project is consistent with the PUD, but he did not tell me it was a PUD.
Because I'm thinking it will be covered by CCNRs, and I don't know how you describe the owner after all of those are sold.
Well, at this moment, the owner is Old Avocado Ranch and Miss Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
Their grantees, when they develop the property, are subject to whatever encumbrances pre-exist on the property.
It would be good that they were required to put these in their CCNRs then.
We certainly could require that. Although anybody who buys the property through any sort of normal transaction, of course, will have title insurance, right, and they'll be on constructive notice.
Does anybody need those very much?
Yeah.
The PUD, if it was a PUD, would be a privately owned parcels, such that this encroachment would go with the one part
area here. So I'm thinking we've got a common area that will be the ownership of the parcel one.
Yeah, it's basically whoever's responsible for that road is going to be responsible for this encroachment, because the road itself is what borders where the fence is going to go. Yeah. Not, there's no house property there. There's no lot there.
No, the road goes around it.
Right.
Goes around. So I figure it's a common area, which is the homeowners association common area.
I'm just kind of estimating, but it looks to me like that easterly boundary is maybe 175 feet, roughly?
About 130 or 40.
130 or 40? Okay. So depending upon the lot sizes, you might get three out of it?
Won't be any homes. No. That's the road goes in there.
Okay.
And the wall is going to go along the side of the road. So there won't be any. The homes will be across the road from that. So I don't think they're. I think it'll be the homeowners association or whoever owns the common property in that.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to agree whether they can put up a wall over our easement, and that they're responsible for it. Right?
That's correct. Yes.
So we're not getting into planning or any of that business about what they're going to put there.
We're simply protecting our easement while accommodating the development.
Thank you. And the truth is, if we have to get in there and do some work on our sewer line, taking this wall out is going to be relatively inexpensive. It's not going to, it's going to be real easy. And if they want to put it back up, they're going to have to pay for it. If they don't want to put it back up, it's not our problem. It's just that this holds us harmless from damaging the wall. You know, if we damage it, it says we have the right to do that. I mean, tearing a wall like that down is not very hard to do.
The agreement requires the owner to remove the improvement such that we could access the sewer if necessary at the owner's expense. So that's...
There are two. They have to remove it if we give them notice, but if we don't have time to give them notice, then we can remove it ourselves.
Right, and then the district would be reimbursed by the owner for that.
In item C, it says a 12-foot by 12-foot foundation. That's what it should be, 12-inch by 12-inch foundation.
Correct.
Foundation, not 12-foot, I guess, and spelled out.
About parcel one, the portion of the easement that sits on parcel one is only 5 feet wide. The other 5 feet sit on the other side of the property line.
So this ultimately is an alley easement of some sort?
No, it's a sewer easement.
It's a sewer that we would... But it wasn't an alley at one time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm looking at the description again, and it would be... Half of this is on the easterly boundary of parcel one. Half is on the westerly boundary of parcel four.
Correct.
To be most accurate.
Yes.
In describing this.
But as written, the easement is only asking for the right to encroach on the portion that's on parcel one.
Mm-hmm. Then why does it say 12 by 12?
Straighten this out.
We're granting them the right to encroach on the portion of the easement that sits on the owner's property.
Okay. On parcel one's
On parcel
property.
One.
So it really should say a 2 foot wide strip on the easterly boundary of parcel one.
No, 5 foot.
I'm not sure I follow you. Say that again.
Well, if they're encroaching only on their 5 foot segment that they have, they're going to put the wall on their side on parcel one. So they'd be encroaching. They say they need 2 12-inch strips. That would be 2 feet on the easterly boundary.
Well, I don't know where they plan to actually put the wall. This only gives them the right to put the wall somewhere in the 5 foot strip on parcel one.
So maybe we shouldn't describe it as a 12 inch by 12 inch. I don't know.
Well, I
guess you could. I guess I'm getting hung up on how they're going to offset the wall.
Well, I think what they're talking about is when they set the wall, they need to put in some concrete footings for the posts.
Mm-hmm.
And those concrete footings are going to be up to 12 inches by 12 inches, a foot square.
I see.
I think. Is that correct?
That makes sense
that
to me.
Is that what they're talking about?
I think so.
Yeah. Not a running footing or something like that.
A garden wall or a brick wall, I think it's the same thing. There is one there now, and it's... on the other side of the street, that the road that comes in, there's a brick wall there, and it has a concrete footing the whole length of the wall because the bricks sit right on the concrete. So it's not 12 by 12 footings.
Well, you've probably talked to the developer more than I have.
No, not about that. I haven't.
Okay. So do you know whether this is a concrete wall running the full length? Or is it a wood fence?
No, it's not. It's not a wood fence.
Okay.
He doesn't want to put in a wood fence.
Okay.
Because he thinks wood fences deteriorate quickly, and he's really putting this up at the request of the lady Edna Nichols. He's at her request because she used to have a big vacant lot there, and now she's going to have traffic going by right by her house all the time. So he agreed to put this concrete or brick wall in as a sound buffer kind of thing.
So then perhaps I'd understand, how is it going to be in 12-foot sections so that it'd be easy to remove a section?
No, it's going to be 20-foot long
sections. 20-foot sections, excuse
right.
me.
I think what the way it's going to be built is that the concrete will be poured in 20-foot slabs, and the wall will be built in 20-foot slabs, but they'll just be contiguous for the whole 140 feet.
With a pilaster every 20 feet?
I don't know how it's going to be, yeah.
Maybe getting a diagram would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she makes a good point. Phil Davis looked at this, and he said it's not going to be a problem for us.
Oh.
Thinking that it was the brick wall kind of thing. And as long, and especially because there were the 20-foot divisions, so we could take out 20 feet at a time.
Other comments? Questions from the board? Comment or questions on this item from the public? Hearing none? I guess I would kind of like to see a drawing to make sure what we're dealing with. Otherwise, I don't really have any problem with this. That the description of, for example, a 12-foot by 12-foot foundation and that kind of... It would be a lot different to tear out a 12 by 12 foot foundation rather if that was actually a homeowner. It would probably be easier to recover than if it was a property owners association or something of that nature. Not really sure how that would work.
Well, this agreement in whatever form it ultimately takes will encumber all of parcel one. So if that gets divided up amongst 12 homeowners, then in theory, the district could go after any one of them or all of them.
Okay.
But then there's a problem because I think they've done plotage here and they have a large area that will be under a homeowners association. And you can
that's correct. But this agreement encumbers the entire parcel one. Mm-hmm. So if you divide it into four houses, eight houses, 20 houses,
sure,
with a homeowners association or whatever, all of those people are subject to this agreement.
It might be good to see the plan of how many homes will be in there and who will be sharing the cost should that happen, because it looks like they'd have to take a backhoe in there and take out concrete and block walls. That's a lot of stuff if you're talking a block wall to get underneath there to get to the sewer line. If you're repairing a sewer line, you have to be able to dig down. Usually they're at least 5 feet deep.
And did you ask Phil about that? And Phil said it wouldn't be a problem?
Well, I remember talking to Phil briefly about it, and he didn't think it was going to be a problem. I mean, you're going to have the backhoe in there to dig the hole anyway. Seriously, this is a 10-minute job tearing this wall down. This is not, you got a backhoe, you got a good guy, you got 10 minutes in the walls, history. It's not, this is not a problem. And so the cost, the cost of recovery, if we had to do it and we couldn't recover the cost, it wouldn't be that big a deal. The difficult part is going to be for the homeowners to replace it. That's going to be the costly part of this evolution.
And that's not our problem.
Right.
And we're better off with an agreement saying that that's not our problem.
Well,
if they just go put up a wall and we got to go through legal processes.
Right. Well, if we don't approve this, then they can't put the wall up, period. They can't put any kind of fence or wall or anything else. Which, frankly, I think, the developer, he doesn't really care. It's this lady that owns the house right next to the road. She's the one that's going to care.
And you know for sure it's 12-inch by 12-inch, and that's a 12-inch.
No, I don't. I don't know that for sure. Towed out with it, because it's sandy, and we had to get towed out with the backhoe. So
we'll be paying.
Don't go in too far.
We'll be paying a tow company now?
No. The developer, they had a tractor right there, and they just towed us.
Bless you. Okay, well, without... I guess what we'd like to do then is see a little bit more information on this and come back.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, item 9, administrative items. First of all, it's 9A, a resolution recognizing Fire Chief Hamp. Consider a resolution recognizing the contributions of Doug Hamp during his service to the district as interim fire chief.
And there's a proposed resolution in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. I'd like to read the resolution briefly if I could. A resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District recognizing Doug Hamp for exceptional service as interim fire chief. Whereas Doug Hamp served as interim fire chief for OCSD from July 2nd to September 5th, 2007. Whereas Doug guided the board with his professional leadership, attention to detail, and devotion to duty. Whereas Doug Hamp utilized his vast experience in fire operations to recommend highly desirable changes to district fire operations and policies. Whereas Doug Hamp utilized his community contacts to further integrate district fire operations with other local fire departments. And whereas Doug Hamp's natural leadership qualities provided guidance and motivation to district firefighters. Whereas Doug Hamp served in district in an outstanding and selfless manner. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of Oceana Community Services District that we extend to Doug Hamp it's our expression of esteem and gratitude for his service to the district as interim fire chief and wish him good health and prosperity for many years to come. Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none. It's been moved and seconded that we approve OCSD Resolution 2007-19 honoring Doug Hamp. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 9B is our quarterly... Okay. Comment or questions from the public on the report? Okay, hearing none, I think we receive and file that. Item number 10 is report of district representatives. I was not able to attend the sanitation district meeting, and I believe Vice President Bookout attended, so I'll...
Okay. It wasn't a very long agenda, but one of the good things about our sanitation district is a lot of the fabrication, and something breaks down, they're able to repair it right there. Sometimes that requires fabricating parts for a unit at the sanitation district. So we approved a new plasma cutter, which will prove to be very beneficial, as a lot of the moving parts there are metal parts, and this is something that it didn't really cost that much, but it was a nice unit for addition for the sanitation. And having been over there a few times and seen some of the work that they've done and constructing tie downs and bolts, it's a really good thing for the sanitation district. Another item is we were I can't remember what the name of it was, but they were earthquake retrofitting some tanks over there and tying them down so in case we have an earthquake they don't shake, fall over, spill. At the same point, I questioned, well, what about a flood? And they quickly pointed out to me on the pictures that there was tie downs coming over the top of the tanks in case it was to get a flood of the community down there. The Creek Memorandum of Approval had been re-agendized from the previous meeting to this meeting. The chair of the Tony Ferrara was not present, so that was tabled till this next meeting. My fire report, wherever it's at, right in front of me. We're up to 690 calls for the year. We did not send any units down to the fires from our fire department, unfortunately, but right now, the area here needs to be covered with our fire departments. Taking away from our area here would put us in, I think, 136 or 137 hours, and Grover Beach has 134. Trying to bring our fire department pretty much fairly equal with them, we've looked to bring them up to 134, equal with Grover Beach.
I think we ought to explain a little bit.
I'm going to let you.
96 hours, I believe, is what our
it's
other...
It's 4 days, because they work 24-hour shifts. Is that what you wanted?
I was going to say, I believe 96 hours is what our staff has now.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And that was what we had for the firefighters, right. But because they work 24 hours a day, it isn't an 8-hour increment, so that's why we're increasing it, so that they'll have the same number of days. Not as many, but they will have more days for sick leave. They can go to the doctor or those kind of things during the week, because they don't work Monday through Friday continually. Whereas our regular employees find it hard maybe to make doctor appointments on the weekend or whatever. But we're just trying to bring them a little closer to what Grover does, and a little closer to what our other employees are getting, so that, again, everybody's treated fairly and alike.
And this is going to come to the board at the next board meeting, recommended by the fire committee.
That was what the fire committee recommended bringing to the board. Also the grant?
We have a grant for $5,978 matching funds, and that's coming. Or it will be coming to the board.
It will come to us for approval to be sent back for the granting agency to sign off of, and then when it comes back down to us after that, they can spend the money to order the items that are on the list. We had lost one item on there, the little microphones, and the reason those were taken away was because there were so many requests for the money, they wanted to be able to spread the money around a little more. So that was we only lost one item out of the things that we had requested. And I believe there were those little tents, wasn't that what was on that?
Fire shelters?
Yeah, fire shelters to protect them if we would have a horrible fire. And then was a contract with the city of Pismo Beach. So we're safely covered, but other areas in the county perhaps are not. So that's why they're not sending any more. Was there one more thing? Oh, going to two drills.
To what?
Two drills.
That is true. I'll let you go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, since you bring it up, as a volunteer fire department, years ago, we would do four drills approximately a month. Now that we're a full-time fire department and more training is happening in a long course, to reduce a little bit of cost, we're going down to two drills, and that's about it on that.
And those will all come back to the board for approval next time?
Next meeting.
And the two drills, I think, is what's Grover and
standard
do at the time.
I don't even know that really has to come back to the board, does it? For those drills to be changed?
I don't think so.
I'll look and see where it's documented. If it was approved by the board, then I'll bring it back. If not, then we'll just do it.
One other additional comment on the sanitation district report. The sanitation district staff does do quite a bit of work in-house that would commonly be contracted out and for repairs of that nature. They do heavy welding work and other repairs on district equipment, as Vice President Bookout pointed out, and I just wanted to compliment the staff at the sanitation district for doing that kind of work, and it saves a considerable amount on the expenses that would otherwise come back to the residents of Oceano and increased fees for contract work. So the staff at the sanitation district plant does an excellent job for us to keep the place well maintained, and they do take on a lot of in-house work that would commonly be contracted out.
I'm not sure the gentleman's name that does a lot of the fabrication over there, but I believe it starts with a T. And Turi? But he's, I believe he's really one of the people over there that excels in repairing things that have
the
broken.
Heavy set gentleman?
Yeah, well, he's a little heavy. Not, he's fit.
No.
There's.
Is it Turi or Teal or. I can't think of his name, but mm-hmm. I'd like to give him some credit, and unfortunately, I do not know his name. Mm-hmm. But, anyways, thank you.
For a development on the corner of 17th and Ocean, which would be a commercial underneath with residents on top. And we had no action on that. We can come back with some more information. We also had an update on the cell tower that they want to put in on the corner of Highway 1 and 22nd Street at the storage units there. They moved it to around the corner, still on the same property, dropped the height by 10 feet to 50 feet, and it'll be a cell tower disguised inside of a flagpole. And then we scheduled another meeting for October 29th to work on the bylaws. And that was about it for that meeting.
Didn't we have the guy from the county?
Well, we did have the guy from the county, but if you want to report on that, I'll let you do that. You were there. There wasn't. I'll let you report on that. I'm not. My voice is about gone.
I don't really remember what he said.
He passed out CDs from the Airport Land Use Commission.
No, that wasn't what he was. That wasn't what he was there to talk about. Oh. What was he talking about?
Affordable housing. He was there actually on that three
on the
part.
If I look at it, I might remember.
Yeah, it was the.
There's that density.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Part deal. They wanted to rezone three properties here in Oceano. But that's on hold, and they want to rezone them from up to 15 houses per acre and change them to at least 15 houses per acre. And two of them are, one of them's right close to the self-help housing, so it's really not an issue, and then the other one is real close to the airport, and that's going to be a major issue. I don't think that's going to even come anywhere clear to go by the Airport Land Use Commission.
Yeah, he talked about the three locations that they had for Oceano. One of them has already been purchased, has it not, for people self-housing? So because they only had the three spots selected. You know, we don't have the land to put big developments in, you know. You stop and look what's in Oceano, there's just a few lots. There's not any big spaces. So coming down here to talk to us was just, I thought, kind of spinning his wheels. And there are a couple of other things he has to address, but it'll be interesting to, that ought to be an interesting Board of Supervisors to watch when that one comes up there.
Is this property out of the flight path?
By the airport?
Well,
it's alongside the airport.
On the air park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't think.
Okay.
It's the hotel side.
Yeah, the palace.
The palace hotel side, okay.
I mean, you know, maybe, and there are a lot of wetlands back in there too, isn't there?
You know, historically, that palace hotel site, it's a big sand dune, and that big sand dune ran almost into the middle of the airport runway, looking at old historical photos. I've got one down at my nursery.
Well, I mean, that was one of the spots they selected, so we just kind of laughed about that. But then the other spot is already going forward.
What about the third?
Where were the
three parcels.
Where was the third one? Or was it already done? Was that the other?
It's a real small parcel somewhere in.
Right adjacent to the other self-help housing, isn't it? Or is
that's
it?
That's the one at 15th and Paso.
Yeah. It just kind of like it really isn't going to affect us very much.
Yeah.
And again, this was informational. It is on hold. It's not something that's going right now. It's on hold. It'll come back later on.
Yeah, it goes to the Board of Supervisors, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's even going there yet. It's still on hold for that even.
Could be.
Okay, and then I attended the Airport Land Use Commission on October 17th. And they gave a real quick update on the Oceano Airport Master Plan. This is the plan for the airport itself. And basically the update consisted of the fact that the plan is not out yet, but the preliminary is out. And there's no changes in the master plan from the preliminary.
Not increasing the number of hangars?
That's on the original.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's no change.
So, but it is basically a change if they're going to increase the number of hangars.
It's a change the Land Use Commission had put together, which I reported on last time. Basically, it came down to a table in there that was incorrectly entered. And so they're going to have to go back and change that table to get it accurate for what was adopted. And then there was a bunch of legal talk about, you know, whose document it is and whether it has to come back through different processes and so. So it was a rather short meeting. There's another meeting that was scheduled for November 21st. It's falling close to Thanksgiving. A lot of the commissioners will be out of town, and so that meeting was canceled. And the next meeting for the Airport Land Use Plan or Airport Land Use Commission will be on December 19th. And that concludes my reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. Pamela?
We had a Zone 11A meeting yesterday, October 23rd. NOLA from the county spoke about the flap gates being repaired in the creek. She said they had a bit of a problem because they had yellow jackets in some of the flap gates, and they had to bring the pest control people out to get rid of the yellow jackets so they could fix the flap gates. Yeah. So she said there are two sets of flap gates left to be repaired, and those have to have a Coastal Commission approval to do those, even though they're maintenance on that area. The gates on the levee are still not in there. They're due to be installed now in November and December. We spoke about status of grants, and there's some interesting things happening with grants. There is OHV grant funding that the county has. They have a pot of money that's $300,000 from this taxes that the OHV people pay. Actually, the Zone 11A people are going to ask or have asked for $82,000 of that to install the gates, to install the signs, to repay for the installation of the signs, and there's no local match. So they're asking for $82,000 from that. It's old because we don't know what the guidelines will be. And then there's round two of what is called IRWIM. IRWIM? It's Integrated Regional Water Management Proposition 50 grant. And we're talking about $1 million grant. We're part of or have been included as part of a suite of projects within the county. Los Osos is probably the biggest one. We are in their Zone 11A for flood control projects. So we're looking to see if we can get $1 million in grants for actually some of the things we're going to use in our environmental document. And this would include the purchase of the flap gates and environmental support documentation that we need. The good thing about Zone 11A is that we are ready to proceed with filling and raising the levees on both sides. We're going to focus on the north side with this money. doing the flap gates. We're talking about the grant would do some of the studies that the Morrow Group is also a county contractor who, acting as a county contractor, could do. And the county is saying that they could bring the Swanson people on board to, as a purchase order under this grant, to do some of the work too. So this will help pay for our environmental work that we have to do for our maintenance of the stream, and it will also raise the levees, fix the flap gates, and will get us pushed on farther along the line. So we're hoping that that will happen. This is going to be happening November, December. They also sent a letter to Pacho in support of the Arroyo Grande Creek Watershed and Creek Memorandum of Understanding. So that letter went out. And that's just about what went on there.
Barbara.
I went to LAFCO last Thursday, where we dealt with the Morro Bay Sphere of Influence. LAFCO reduced it from what it used to be. Morro Bay was not real happy with that. We did, however, include ag land between there. And he wants to hook up to certain services from Morro Bay, and that would certainly be encouraging sprawl because of the ag land in between. Their city council, they were not real happy with this, but it might have gone down 5-2, maybe 7-0, but probably 5-2 was the result of that. And then Templeton came next, and they wanted to add some acreage that is across the railroad tracks in town. It's some ag land that has been there, has not been very productive for the last 20 years. I believe it's maybe 20 acres. 10 of it would remain in ag, and 10 would be a park, basically a passive park. There was a lot of debate about having to cross the railroad track to get there. They think that a couple of commissioners felt that this was very dangerous. Templeton wants it in there because they want a park that's in town. That passed 5-2. So that was basically what we dealt with. And then we have Paso coming back, Pismo coming back next time to talk about the development off of Oldwood Park up there. Mm-hmm. When Aurora Grande and Paso were talking about water, being able to supply water to this new development. And taking the water out of the wells. Originally, when it came to LAFCO, Pismo had been saying that they would use their state water, and then that got changed to where they were going to pump out of the ground. So the people that live above there are complaining, you know, you will be taking our water. Aurora Grande has no water to sell them. Pismo said they don't have any water, so it's going to be pretty political. They will be there. A church school had inherited some property about 20 years ago to build a school there, and they had, I believe, 20 years to do it, and year 19, they suddenly, we've got to do this, and there's still no water. You know, there is not water available, in my humble opinion. So that'll become the next big thing at LAFCO for several months, probably. Oh, and I guess everybody did see in the paper where Aurora Grande purchased property on Grand Avenue.
In 2006, there was a bill passed in the legislature that changed the way the money is allocated. So the county share went from $12,000 a year to $150,000 a year. The county hasn't yet determined how they're going to distribute that money. So they're taking requests from whoever thinks they're qualified. So I've started a draft of a letter to Supervisor Akajian saying, we think we're entitled to this money, and this is the reason. There are two authorized uses of the money. One is safety, and one is police services, I think. Police and safety, one or the other. So we have to convince the county that the fire department is part of the safety service to the beach. And if we do...
I think that would be hard to do.
Well, okay, then we should qualify for some of that money. The I know the park people have applied for all of it. They said they used to get all of it. They should still get all of it. Kind of doubt that the supervisors will divide it that way. I'm not sure when it's going to come before the board, but I don't think it's imminent. I don't think it's real soon.
I know Firefighter Angel had been talking about this money for a long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Done a lot of research on it.
Yeah. Engineer Angela was first to bring this to us. Yeah. And Supervisor Ajajian has mentioned this to us also when we were in the Dunes advisory. He brought that up, and we also, I think we've talked about it at the board a couple times.
When me and you, Bill, were at the meeting with the county several months ago now. Yeah. Two of the supervisors were in that meeting.
And Jerry Lindfall was
one of them, Gibson was the other one. And they both requested that we apply for that money. And they basically asked us to apply for it. Yeah. And they even offered to fast track it for us. And I have passed this information on to administration at least three times to let you guys know about that. And that has been out there for a while already.
Okay. The way I first learned about it was with Craig Angelo's recommendation. If you read his recommendation, he wants to tie it in.
Yeah, I would think that our fire responses on the beach repeatedly and safety responses on the beach would certainly justify that kind of request.
This last weekend, we had quite a few things happening on the beach. One was an ATV race, motorcycle race in the dunes, which brought a lot of people in, which was a very nice event. Vicki and I both took a drive out there and got to enjoy the races. The other thing which was enjoyable to me, which is not really swift water rescue, but they had jet ski races, international jet ski races out there, which were fascinating to watch. And the Park Service did have a rescue unit there that if something was to happen and they needed it bad, they could get out to the jet skiers quickly and rapidly, which, you know, I think the parks has that taken care of. But just a very unique weekend, and unfortunately there was an accident with one of the motorcycle, I think the quad riders out there were, he lost his life. It was a sad note, but it was a beautiful weekend out there, and there are dangers out there, and we will be responding to a lot of the dangers with our fire engines in the future. Engine, not engines. There's only one that can go out there.
Okay, is there a public comment on the reports? Hearing none. Item 11 is general manager items for discussion. Patrick?
Yeah, the only item I have is I went to the PG&E on Monday and talked to the project manager for the streetlight. She has everything she needs now, and she was sending it to planning. Her estimate is 2 or 3 weeks before we'll get a planning estimate on the cost and setting it up. They know where the electrical connections are. They know where the streetlight's going to go. We've pretty much settled on the type of streetlight we're going to get, so things are progressing on the streetlight. That's all I have.
Okay. Comment or questions?
I do have one thing. One of the things that Patrick did was to submit our state controller's report. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
More meeting, the first meeting of November prior to consideration of the second meeting of November and the second meeting of December. We often cancel those meetings if there's relatively light agendas anyway. We might want to consider that.
This
on
is
the
news to me. Right. There's a lot of stuff we need to do at the next meeting. Mm-hmm. But I suspect
the meeting would be the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and I suspect we could do not have a meeting.
And the second one in December is the day after Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is over by that.
Mm-hmm. We could take those one at a time, or in pair at the next meeting. We might consider what to do, whether to hold those meetings or not, or reschedule.
So we should, that should be agendized? And,
yes.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, I'd like to take item 14 out of order. If there's any other board member items for discussion? There was one item that I just wanted to comment on, and that was a request by a board member ostensibly for review of some business with the district. I hope that would be taken in no more or less than any other business that the district has. There was just one thing that concerned me on it was the very limited part of the document that I saw. It said personal and confidential kind of thing on it, and it kind of led me to believe, I hope we're not as directors requesting a personal priority or anything of that nature.
Now, once that document's submitted to the district, it's a public document. It's not
right.
Personal nor confidential.
I would like to take item 14, which is consideration of the warrants, out of order, and do that before the closed session, if we could. Are there any comments or questions from the board on the warrants? Okay, hearing none. Any comment or questions from the public on the warrants? Hearing none there. Do we have a motion to approve? I don't have an paren B paren 1 to evaluate the district engineer, a routine annual evaluation. Did I express that correctly, counsel?
You did it pretty well, but just to clarify one thing, it is listed as a conference with legal counsel contractor evaluation. This doesn't particularly have anything to do with meeting with me. It is simply a contractor evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. So we will.
Can we go watch television so we can stay here?
Yeah, that'd probably be best. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier.
We will then
for
move
to
closed session.
Your office in the morning.
Good. Okay, we're back from closed session and council.
Yes, with regard to item 13A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 to evaluate the district engineer. The board met and took no action.
Okay, thank you very much. Brings us to item number 15, public comment. Any additional public comment at this time? Hearing none. Written communication, Patrick? No written communication. Okay, in that case, we're adjourned.